All right, good morning. Welcome. We'll go ahead and get started this morning. I love seeing all of the fellowship and all the time to be able to spend together. And we're looking forward to our opportunity to worship our Savior through singing, through giving, through prayer, and also through hearing of His Word. And so we'll be looking forward to doing that this morning. Be praying for Pastor and Sherry as they're away. Pastor, their nephew got married yesterday, so they're visiting with family through this week, and so, or most of this week. And so we want to be continuing to pray for them throughout this time. It's good to see some faces we haven't seen in a while. Welcome back. And we're glad that you're here to worship with us. And thank you for those of you who still continue to join us on live stream. We're thankful for that technology, and we continue to pray for the day and look forward to when we are totally past all of the COVID stuff and we're able to go from there. The good thing is that thankful for the Lord that we are getting too closer to that point. This Wednesday is when the governor is lifting all of the restrictions. So after this week, it's no longer necessary to have a mask on, and we can go ahead and continue to fellowship. We want to be respectful of others, though. Some will still be wearing it as a cautious, and we want to love them and respect them for that. And you're more than welcome to wear it, but you don't have to do that. We're still going to keep the auditorium set up, rows 6 foot apart. We're still going to have the overflow room available if you want it. And we'll continue to have hand sanitizer and other things available. But we're looking forward to the fact that we can gather, and we're getting a little bit closer to whatever normal is going to be. Tonight, we're going to continue again with doing some visiting and fellowship. We want to be the church instead of just coming and doing church. And so encourage you to look out and to see who you can invite over and fellowship with. I know today and this weekend is going to be filled with a lot of family activities. However, there's some in the congregation that either live away from their families or don't have a whole lot of interaction with their families. So be conscious of that. Invite them out to be a part of your family for the weekend and whatever those festivities that you might have from there. Wednesday, we're going to be looking forward to starting our new series on Wednesday nights of connecting with our missionaries. We did this last year through Zoom. That was a great encouragement for us, and we want to do that again. And so some of them will be joining us in person. Some will be on Zoom. We're going to be available here in person and on Zoom. So if you want to be a part of that, Dave and Sue Derlin will be joining us this Wednesday. Give us an update on where they're at in their ministry, what's been happening, how has COVID affected them. And so we'll be looking forward to hopefully encouraging them and them challenging and encouraging us and what the Lord is doing outside of Wheelersburg and the surrounding areas there. So looking forward to that. Be making sure you take a look at those throughout the whole summer. And we'll be having a different missionary about every Wednesday. Next Sunday, we're going to start new Sunday school classes. We've enjoyed those Sunday school classes that we just finished. But as we transition into a new class, for the month of June, July, and August, we'll have two Sunday school classes that run that entire time. Dave Beam will be teaching one on how to study the Bible. That'll be meeting in the gym. And he's going to work through the process to study and understand the scriptures. And to do that, they're going to be studying the book of 1 John. And so that'll be a valuable time there. And then James Part 2 will be continuing. Dennis DeCamp and Jack Brandon will continue that in room 204. As we go from there. There will be a couple of other shorter classes offered periodically, and so make sure you stay tuned for details on that one. Next week will be graduation Sunday, so we'll be honoring our graduates. So if you, I think we have all the graduates, but if you want to make sure your name or your loved one's name's on the list, make sure you let me know, and we'll be looking forward to honoring them for their accomplishments next week. We'll be praying for camp staff. They will be here tomorrow, and the ones that will be coming in, we will have them here with us next week, I'm not sure how many times we're going to have them here this summer, but they will be here next week. We want to make sure we continue to pray for them as they launch into summer. Next Sunday, our kids will be heading out to camp on Sunday afternoon, and we'll look forward to that week of camp together as we keep going into the summer and the many different activities we have there. Make sure you're connected with the email chain. There's the announcement sheets on the foyer table back there, and that'll help keep you plugged in and up to date so you can participate in the life of the church. We'll turn it over to Scott. He'll help lead us in some praises as we prepare our hearts for the Word.
So good to be with you all today. I'm looking forward to the summer and when it's going to warm up, right? And appreciate your prayers and encouragement. The Apostle John in his vision toward the end of his life, as he recorded the book of Revelation, he says this, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying," and here's what they sang, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." We have privilege to sing to our Savior and our Lord and the only holy God. The Bible just repeatedly speaks about that. And the one character trait that the Bible emphasizes the most about God is his holiness. And it's the only description that is given of him where it's repeated three times. You are holy, holy, holy. Absent from sin. Separate from sin. And we have the privilege through the Lamb to have a relationship with that God. Let's stand together. We'll sing songs that focus our hearts on that and give praise to our God.
Commands all the host of heaven. Who else could make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness tremble? Only a holy God. What other beauty demand such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice?
think about the answers to those questions, and we behold our God.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand?
Pray for us and thank the Lord for His greatness.
Yes. Father, You are good. We are here because of You, Your Son, Lord of the cross. We thank You for that each day, that You would bless this service, take the distractions of this busy life away from us, and just give us the attention we need to see You and Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Andy, I didn't mean to miss you either. So you may be seated.
Good morning. It is good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I've seen lots of smiles around here this morning. This is a pretty exciting place to be. a lot to be happy about, a lot to be encouraged about. Thankful for the encouragement I received last evening from a dear friend of ours who we have all prayed for and will continue to do that. You have just lived out the old story about if you don't like the weather in Ohio, just wait a little bit. What, 3 or 4 days ago you had your shorts and t-shirts, and now you brought your coat to church. But tomorrow, I think we're going to have warm weather restored, so it'll be an exciting time. Let's pray together this morning. Father, there is indeed so much to be thankful to you for. We've had so many exciting things happen here at Wheelersburg Baptist. Father, we prayed that you would bring people to us, and you have done that. Father, we've experienced the joy of weddings. We've experienced the opening back up of the schedules, which we're very happy about. Perhaps we can put the anxiety and the chaotic feelings behind us more and more. We're thankful for our Sunday school times and our fellowship times. We've transitioned away temporarily from community groups, but Father, we want to take this opportunity for fellowshipping and just being with people who perhaps we cannot normally be with. There's much, much more to be thankful for. You enabled us over this season to communicate with our missionaries, sometimes in ways that we weren't used to. But we don't forget them, Father. We don't forget the fact that you are literally working worldwide. And that's such a wonderful reminder to us. So, Father, bless Pastor Matt as he comes today with a message. Bless Pastor Brad and Sherry as they enjoy some time of quiet and peace. Father, we just worship you today for all that you've done and for literally who you are in Christ's name. Amen.
All right. Thank you for leading us in singing and in prayer there. And we look forward to doing that. You know, I've been preaching a little bit more, so I'm starting to get some comments on just the way that Pastor Brad and I do things differently. One of the biggest comments comes from my wife as we go from there. So she grew up here with Pastor Brad and well trained in the outline and filling in the blanks, and that's just not me. And so I've got other people making comments about that, and part of that is because Pastor Brad, being very organized, he's ready to go and usually hits print, you know, sometime Friday morning on his sermons. I am not that way. And so I was working on this yesterday and other things. So we're going to do that. I'm going to blow you guys' minds that are struggling with that even more. I'm going to change the title of this. So on this, Wilma needed a title on Thursday. And so I put one on there. But to me, the title is one of the last things that goes on anything that you write. And so I changed it. So then the title of this sermon is going to be Remembering the Lord's Faithfulness. Remembering the Lord's faithfulness. We're going to be digging into Joshua chapter 3 and 4 and looking at that today, remembering the Lord's faithfulness. But before we get there, turn your Bibles to Psalm 77 for the scripture reading. Children, kindergarten and other under, can go ahead and head to their time in the Word as they are have their time for children's church. Psalm 77, starting in verse 11. The scriptures read, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember the wonders of the old. I will ponder all of your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O Lord, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known the mighty among the people. You with your arm redeem your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Are you a sentimental person? Do you tend to have things that you keep around for sentimental reasons? Would a loved one, maybe this is a more accurate way to put it, would a loved one or your spouse say that you are a sentimental person? when they're going through and they go to throw something away and you stop them, or you start grabbing it out of the trash can to make sure that you keep it around. So sentimentalism is something that often gets a negative connotation, and probably, and just like anything, if it's taken too far, ends up being a negative thing. It could be a sinful thing. But I have to admit, I do have a little bit of sentimentalism in me. I have some things around the house that I keep for no other reason than sentimental reasons. If you were to have gone into my office before, it's not there anymore, but on the filing cabinet, I used to have an old hat, an old catcher's mask, and an old Bible there. These items belong to my grandfathers. I was in junior high when I lost my last grandfather. I've been blessed to have my grandmothers live long lives, but I did not have my grandfathers around very long. So the old hat belonged to my Grandpa Young, my mom's dad, and the catcher's mask belonged to my Grandpa Wilson, who died when my dad was young and never got the chance to meet him. And then the old Bible belonged to my great-grandpa Edwards. And I was able to get that from a family auction, which I'm pretty sure I outbid Dan for. I keep them around. They're probably not worth much to anyone else. They look at them and say, hey, it's time to upgrade. But I keep them around as a reminder, so I can remember my grandfathers, my heritage, and more. This weekend is Memorial Day. Tomorrow, I hope you take time to remember those who've fallen in battle for our freedoms, who have given the ultimate sacrifice of their life to enjoy the freedoms that we have here in America. We have a whole day set aside on our calendar for remembering Memorial Day. I tried to do a little bit of history, look into the history of Memorial Day a little bit. And just like most holidays, if you've ever looked into them, it's not a cut and dry, this is when it started and this is why. If you look at the history, the practice of decorating graves has been around since the ancient times, especially those of fallen heroes. In America, particularly the 1800s, the Civil War had a big part in that. In fact, the South, and particularly the Appalachian region, was big on remembering those who had fallen during the Civil War. And at some point, I think the best I could tell, one of the Union officers picked up on this practice and kind of made it, and they were able to submit some paperwork and go through all the legal process to make it a national holiday where we all remember. A day set aside for memorial, for remembering, for commemorating. The question I had is it working? Do people remember the sacrifices? Does this day help people to rearrange their priorities and help us give perspective like it's supposed to? An interesting study from People.com gave some interesting insights. 83% of Americans believe that Memorial Day is something worth celebrating. So that's a pretty high number. I'm not sure why that's not at 100%, but 83% of people. However, 46% of people do not know that Memorial Day is on the last Monday of May. 21% of people think it's Sunday and not Monday. And 43% of people knew that the holiday was to honor those who died in service. And many confessed that they didn't know the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And I'm not saying all that, those statistics, I don't know who did the study and that kind of thing. But the reality is Memorial Days are there to remember. And if it's not helping us to remember, or what is it supposed to help us remember? The scripture is full of memorials. Do you ever notice that when you read through, especially the Old Testament, how memorials are set up all over the place? This happens in the form of stones being set by leaders, festivals being celebrated, traditions being observed. And you will see that the Lord is putting them in place in order to remind the people of something. It could be particular things. It could be events. It could be lots of different opportunities there as you read through those. The New Testament, we see some of them as well. The most common one is communion. It is a practice that we have been commanded to do in order to remember. And then throughout all church history, if you study that, there's symbols and traditions and activities and practices that happen, all starting out as a way to remember the Lord's faithfulness. And that's exactly what we want to look at today. We want to look at Joshua chapter 3 and 4, a time when the Lord was faithful,
which is kind of an ironic statement because he's always faithful. And then a command by the Lord to the Israelite people to make sure they do something to remember the Lord's faithfulness. So a little bit of context in the biblical narrative here. So the Israelites have been rescued from Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, Lord splitting the water there. And they've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years, basically walking in a circle, waiting because that generation forfeited their rights to be able to go into the promised land. And Moses and Aaron was busy giving them the law, teaching them the ways of the Lord, and setting up the nation of Israel at that time. And now, we have gotten to the point now in Joshua, where Joshua has taken over as leadership, and they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And they are able to finally go to where they have been promised, and they're looking forward to that. And this is the point. We're going to look at the crossing of the Jordan River. Today's roadmap, as we go through that, we're going to cover more ground than normal. We got two chapters. I'm going to try to give you an overview. And so we're going to do a big flyover, landing the plane in certain spots here. But I hope what this does is give you an opportunity, a context, in order to dig into the scriptures a little bit more and study it yourself. So we got 2 points for today. Chapter 3, we see the Lord's faithfulness. And chapter 4, we see them remembering the Lord's faithfulness. So let's go ahead and jump into this as we read. I'm going to read Joshua chapter 3, verses 14 to 17 to start us off. So then the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan, with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as soon as those bearing the Ark had come to the edge of the water, their feet hit off the feet of the priest bearing the Ark had dipped into the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all the banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters came down from above, stood and rose up in a heap very far away. At Adam, the city that it was, that is beside Zerthan, and those flowing down towards the Sea of Arabia. The salt sea where was completely cut off. And the people passed over the opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And Israel and all Israel was passed over on dry ground until all the nation had passed over the Jordan. Amazing accomplishment there. Amazing act of the Lord's faithfulness. And that's point number one here, is that we see the Lord's faithfulness. We see the Lord's faithfulness in three different ways throughout this chapter, though, as we walk our way through this. The first one, we see the Lord's faithfulness in providing godly leadership. You know, it's easy for us to go to those big events that I just told you about, those miraculous things, and think, oh, the Lord's being faithful there. The reality is, He's being faithful in every situation with His providence. And so we see the Lord providing godly leadership. We're providing the right type of leadership. Moses and Aaron were great leaders for Israel at this point. But Israel was moving on to a different phase of history. They were getting ready to cross the Jordan. And we'll see here in a little bit, they're on a military conquest. And so the Lord provides for them Joshua. Joshua being a warrior, a military leader to lead the people of Israel into the next phase of their lives. And it may look like Joshua is a natural and he's just there, and so they did that. But the Lord orchestrated all of Joshua's life, the events that happened in his childhood, the people teaching him, the lessons learned to prepare him for taking on this leadership role. The Lord was faithful in providing them with a leader. You look back at chapter 1, that's when the Lord appointed him as leader, and the Lord spoke there in order to do that. You see at the beginning of chapter 3, it says Joshua rose early in the morning and set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan to the people of Israel to lodge there before they passed over. So he had just come from the place where the spies were. So he was up early developing plans. They had sent spies out to Jericho to spy out. Rahab protected them. They came back and came to report to Joshua. He was fulfilling his leadership duties. He was making decisions. He was doing some strategic planning there. But I'm sure just as any new leader comes along, there were times when there were people who questioned his leadership. You ever met someone like that, or do you know that of yourself, that you're always skeptical that person can't do the job until they prove they can do the job? Where other people are like, hey, I'm going to trust they do the job until they let me down. You got people on the other end that are like that. And I'm sure there were people in Israel who were like, who's this Joshua guy? Is he really cut out for it? I think my brother-in-law would have done a better job. He was in the running for it. So the Lord provided this opportunity. In fact, if you look at verse 7, it said, and the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that you may be known. And he goes on to talk about, he's not trying to get him to be worshipful. What he's doing is arranging opportunities, arranging situations where Joshua can follow in obedience and then be able to prove his leadership, which will carry him on through the rest of his time as leadership of the Lord's people. The Lord not only provided godly leadership, he prepared that leadership through the activities of his upbringing and then provided opportunity for him to prove that leadership. The Lord's faithfulness is at hand. The second way is the Lord's faithfulness is on display by proving that people as the leader. I just lost my notes. By giving them instructions. Lost track there. But by giving them instructions, he gave them marching orders in the middle of chapter 3. We won't take time to read through this. You will see that he tells them they're going to come across and they're going to have to take on all of these different nations and all of these different people groups and get them and to battle them and to conquer the land. This isn't a ready move-in house that has no work to do. There's work to be done, there's battles to be fought, and there's idols to be eradicated from the people. He wanted this nation to be, this area to be cleansed in order for him to be the God of that area and for his people to shine and be that type of light to his goodness to the people around them. And he talked to them about how he was going to do that. He wanted the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant, which was unusual. The priest didn't typically do that. That was assigned to other people. But there are times that the priest would carry the Ark of the Covenant. And this was one of those. And they were to go across and stand in the middle of the river. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, let's remind ourselves of that, is a box that had items in it that reminded mainly the people of God's holiness and his presence with them. This was pre-Holy Spirit indwelling them, and so they needed that reminder of that, and they reminded them of the covenant that he had made with them, made with the forefathers of Israel. And so the Ark of the Covenant was to go across and then all of us and stand in the middle, and then the rest of the people were to go. And so the Lord gave was faithful there to let him have instructions, let him know the best way to proceed. So he provided godly leadership, gave him instructions, didn't leave him on his own. And then thirdly, what we read earlier, he has faithfulness in his miracle. All right. And so he allowing, as soon as the people, the priest's feet hit the water, they separate. He does it again. And that should immediately draw their attention back to when they left Egypt and the Lord was faithful there. And they were able to walk across on dry ground. I think sometimes we read stories like that and we don't fully take time to let that marinate and to think about that, what is going on here. And so the river, the Jordan River, it says here in the text that it's during the flood season. It's been overflowing its banks for harvest. And so it wasn't just the confines of the river here. It's all the way back. And as soon as their feet hit the ground, the waters came up and stood in a heap. And then the water from the river is going to keep coming. And so it's going to keep holding that back. And then has anybody ever walked around a river after it's flooded and been able to see? It's not easy walking because it's not what you would classify as dry. It is wet. There's holes. There's places to walk on. And it says here that they walked across on dry ground. He provided them a way to move across the entire nation of Israel in a day to get from one side to the other. What amazing power and faithfulness on display in this chapter. Although we should not be surprised, as I said earlier, his faithfulness is always on display. The problem is we don't always recognize it. The problem is we are too busy working out our own schedules that we don't take time to look around and see that the Lord's agenda is happening. And what He has called us to do is obey in the midst of faithfulness. And to their credit, the second thing we see in the midst of His faithfulness of chapter 3, we see obedience by the people of Israel. This isn't always the case as we go through the Old Testament, but we see obedience here. We see that that they are listening and following their God-given leadership. All right, so you go to chapter 3, verse 2. It says, at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priest, you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet you should keep a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you should go. For you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. So Joshua, as he is leading these people and following the Lord's instructions, tells the priest to pick up the Ark and to walk in front of it, of the people, is reminding them of God's presence. And then he tells them to go ahead and consecrate themselves. Now, what does it mean to consecrate? That means to set apart and to stay holy. That means to do some. There was things in place by Moses that if you became unclean, that you would go through a ceremony in order to symbolize you being cleaned on the inside, renewing your faith and repenting of your sins. And he's telling them to do so. He says, the Lord is about to do something big. Be ready. And the people listen to him. When the ark passes by, they move away 1,000 feet from it. And I don't think that's a way of adding some extra things there. There's never been any command to say that you had to be so far away from the ark. But I think it's in wisdom showing and reminding the people of God's presence. And it's also helping with the direction to lead the people so they can see what's going on. And they obey Him. They consecrate themselves. They get ready for what is coming. The Lord gives us commands and instructions as well. He's taught us how we can get rid of the sin in our own lives. We know that we are sinful based on looking in the mirror of the Scriptures and seeing that we have fallen short of God's holy standard. The question is, are you making yourself clean in the way that the Lord has called us to, through faith and repentance? Or are you doing it through your own methods? Are you obeying the faithfulness of the Lord? He has promised that if you confess your sins and through faith and repentance, He is going to cleanse you from those sins. Are you taking Him at His word and His faithfulness and obeying Him in that? The third thing we see here is that they follow the Lord's instructions through chapter 3 here. So they obey their leaders, they obey the instructions, then they worship the Lord, and then they follow His instructions as they cross the river. I think it's interesting that the river doesn't divide until the priest's feet hit the water. Now that, we talk about a step of faith. That's a step of faith. Stepping into a river that's high, running fast because it's flood season, and they're going to sit there and carry this heavy ark across the river. But the moment they step their foot on there, all of a sudden, the river parts, and we see two different sides there. They follow the Lord's instructions. That may not make sense. It may not even be something that would be done normally, but they did that. They followed the Lord's instructions and took Him at His word. Also remember now, while they're wandering around the desert, there was a pillar of fire that led the way. They just had to follow this. Well, that is gone now. So now they are having to take God at His word and crossing the Jordan River and doing what He has commanded in order to take over this land. And if you think through some of those conquests and some of those ways, they were unconventional. And they continued to follow the Lord and obey His commands through those things. Chapter 4, verse 10 says, the people went across in haste. They were ready. They did not hesitate. How many times do we hesitate when the Lord tells us to do something because we've got to analyze? That river is running really fast. Maybe we should wait a day or two. Or are we going to have, should we go in shifts and maybe one tribe at a time? Are we going to, we always want to analyze things, but the Lord speaks. Are we going to not hesitate and go and follow His commands and obey Him? The Lord's faithfulness is on display. The people of Israel, and they followed the Lord in the way that they, in obedience and in that faithfulness in chapter 3. And now we move to chapter 4. We need to remember the faithfulness. Let me read chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Then, when all the nations had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over to you and put and lay them down where you lodge tonight.'" And Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, and men from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take each of you a stone upon your shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. Whenever your children ask in your time to come, 'What does the stones mean?' then you shall tell them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passes over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." So the Lord commands the people of Israel to set up a memorial, to set up a way of remembering. And He tells the people of Israel to take 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, which is an important aspect there. Remember, not every tribe is going into there. One of them had negotiated that they will stay on the other side of the Jordan. They had set up camp. They enjoyed that. Was perfect for their pasture lands. And so Moses allowed them to stay, but they're still coming together in unity in order to cross the Jordan, because that's where the temple is eventually going to be, and they can worship with them. And as they're crossing, going over the Jordan River, they're to stop, pick up a rock, and throw it on their shoulder and carry it across the rest of the way. This is not going to be an easy task. One commentator mentioned that these rocks were going to be at least 100 pounds apiece. And so they're carrying all of their stuff, their tents and their possessions. They're making sure their families get across. And they stop and they pick up these stones and carry them across, and then carry them another mile to where they set up camp. And the people of Israel are to put those there and to pile them up there at the priest's feet when they get there. And the priest will consecrate them in the way that Moses said to do so. And they will follow the laws of the Lord in order to set up a memorial. Now the question, there's some things happening here as you study this on your own with the language, that is there two memorials, one in the middle of the Jordan and one on the outside of the Jordan, or do they have, or is there just one memorial and they're just looking at it from different angles? Or is there one in the middle and then they pick up the memorial there, because you can't see a memorial that's in the middle of the river, and carry it to where they're camping? Ultimately, I think it's that they have one memorial over there, but it doesn't really matter for that sake. That the Lord told them to go ahead and set up this memorial, to set up a place, a time where they can remember the works of the Lord. Now the question is, why did He do this? I think first and foremost, He knew that we are prone to forget. We are prone to get distracted, and we are prone to not follow the ways of the Lord. And so we need to make sure that we continue to remember. We need things in our lives to allow us to remember the faithfulness of the Lord. An old saying that I love to hear is, "Trust in the darkness what you know to be true in the light." But sometimes when you're in the midst of the darkness, you've got to remember, you've got to have something to spark your memory of what is true in the light. So the Lord wants His people to remember because He knows tough times are coming ahead, and He knows that even if it's not tough times, we're easily distracted in the good times. And He wants His people to remember His faithfulness and to remember what the Lord has done to bring them to this point. He also tells us why in verses 19 to 24 of chapter 4. He says, the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day on the first of the first month and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask your fathers in times to come what these stones mean, then you shall let your children know Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until they passed over. And the Lord did just as the Lord did for the Red Sea, which he dried up until we had passed over, so that the people of the earth will know that the hand of God is mighty, and they may fear God, your God. You fear the Lord your God forever. So why? First thing we see here, why is he going to do that? Because it's an ability for us to remember what he's doing, but also it's an opportunity to teach the next generation. We just got through teaching a class or going through a class of family discipleship. It is our job as parents in order to train the next generation. It's our job as a church to train the next generation in order to know the ways of the Lord. And he knew, the Lord knew that this would be an opportunity for them to teach them, the children, what had happened in previous generations. If you think about it, this generation that is crossing the Jordan River was not alive when they crossed over the Red Sea. So they were taught that by their parents and by the spiritual leaders. So now they have the opportunity to do so. But I think there's a couple of key things that we need to point out as we're thinking through this. One, this assumes that they're going to be walking past this at some point, that they're going to take a journey to go by this. This is just past the Jordan. If you lived on the other side of the country, you would have to go out of your way to go back over to this area in order to show them the stones. So there's intentionality when we are teaching the next generation of what's going about the things of the Lord, when teaching them the truth of God's word. And then that assumes that he says the children will ask questions. Are your children free to ask questions about the things of the Lord? Is that something that they don't broach that subject because they don't hear you talking about it? I love when children come here at the church and ask us difficult questions that we can't answer. And we have the opportunity to open God's Word and explore that together. Are you willing to allow the kids to come and see them and to know what the Lord has done? And then it's not just the event. Notice as he went through here, yes, it's the event. He's parted the Jordan River. But really, that event symbolizes the Lord's faithfulness. Oftentimes, when we get stuck on a memorial or something that's very sentimental, we never get to that point where we see this represents something else. Going back to the trinkets that I haven't had in my office with my grandfathers, they're not just there for me to remember my grandfathers. The hat with my Grandpa Young, I remember our financial conversations. He was really smart when it came to handling money and what to do. And we would sit and he would quiz me and give me scenarios and ask me what would be the appropriate way to go. I remember seeing him faithfully serve behind the scenes of his church. And I remember the Lord's faithfulness there, the lessons that were taught by him. I think about that catcher's mask, and I never got to meet my grandfather because when he passed, but I remember the heritage. I remember the lessons that I've heard from my dad and my uncles, and I remember what the Lord has done in that family through that difficult time. And I remember my great-grandfather's Bible and the way he faithfully served in his church for many years. And loved his grandkids and great-grandkids. I remember the garden that he had and how to work the garden and to continue to do that. And so there's so many lessons there that as we think through that, that we can't get stuck on the memorial and forget the lesson behind it. The memorial is a means to an end. We can't get stuck in the means. So the Lord commanded them to set up this memorial, and they did. The question I have for you is, did it work? Did the people of Israel obey? Initially, yes, they did. And they went on and they started to conquer a bunch of lands. But if you ever, as you're reading through the scriptures, you get to Judges chapter 1 and 2. And you'll notice it says in there, the next generation came about and did not know the things of the Lord. Ultimately, it did not work. Another place in 1 Samuel where they set up a stone called Ebenezer. And Samuel calls them to repentance, and he goes through that. And in the very next chapter, the people of Israel started demanding a king. And you can look at this throughout all of history. You go to Isaiah, where they were still practicing the Passover festivals and doing all of the traditional sacrifices and everything. And the Lord said, I don't want your hollow worship, because it's not the activity, it's what that activity points to that you have forgotten. You see, ultimately, the memorials are there to help. They're there to help us remember the Lord's faithfulness, but information has never been our problem. We've always had a sin problem. It doesn't matter how much information or how many times we remember or how many times we go through a ritual. Ultimately, we need the Lord to give us a new heart. We need to have our heart of stone removed and placed in a heart of flesh, one that can be alive and see the works of the Lord. One that recognizes the work of the Lord on the cross, that He was the atoning sacrifice for us, that we can now enter into a right relationship with Him based on His grace alone. And when we do that, we need to do things to help us remember what He has done for us, to remember His faithfulness. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us along the way. Pastor started that series last week. We'll continue that next week as we go from there. So let's wrap up some application here as we think through this. The question, a couple questions here. How do you remember the Lord's faithfulness? How do you remember the Lord's faithfulness? There's not a right or wrong answer necessarily to that. But what do you have set up in the rhythm of your life, daily, weekly, monthly, whatever it might be, to remember the Lord's faithfulness? We have things set up in every other area of our life. We have birthdays and holidays and anniversaries and wedding rings and all kinds of other things set up there as tokens to remind us of the Lord's faithfulness and what He has commanded us to do. What else do you have there? Do you have things there for your spiritual life? Do you preach the gospel to yourself daily? That's the simplest one. Number two, have those memorials or traditions become idols? Have those memorials or traditions, those things that you have set up to, in order to remind you ultimately of what the Lord has done for you, become idols? It's once been said that we are all small idol factories. Even with the best intentions, we will try to make something an idol. How do you know whether it's an idol or not? I heard this litmus test at the men's retreat. It said, if it's taken away from you, will you respond in sin? If that item, that tradition, that thing that you have in place in order to remind you of the Lord is taken away from you, will you respond in sin? Or if you respond, or if it's taken away from you and you can't get it, will you sin in order to get it back? If that is the case, it is no longer there as a helpful tool. It is an idol. And we need to eradicate that idol from our lives and remind ourselves of the faithfulness of the Lord. And ultimately, we need to practice the spiritual discipline of remembering regularly, because we are so prone to forget and to wander far from the truth that is before us. I pray that you would be able to remember the Lord's faithfulness as you go throughout this week. Let's pray. Gracious Father, you are so good and faithful. And you're always faithful. You're always working. You're always true to yourself. You're always working in our hearts and lives to bring you honor and glory. You keep your promises. You can be depended upon. And Lord, I pray that we would remember that. We're so prone to forget how many times I go into a situation and I worry about how things are going to get done. But, and then you come through like you always do. And I question why I was worried about that whole situation to begin with. Yes, we need to prepare. Yes, we need to be faithful in obeying. But we need to remember your faithfulness. Help us to do that in our lives. Help us to remind each other of your faithfulness as we share the ways that you show yourself to be faithful in our lives on a regular basis. Help us to celebrate your faithfulness through traditions and memorials and other things to help us remember you. You are worthy of all our praise and honor and glory. And Lord, help us to do that in a mighty way this week. I ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Stand and sing a hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. That'll be your prayer as you leave today. Lord bless you. Thank you.